Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
About what to share today. There's so much in Brené Brown's book. But I was thinking about a time that I had, I don't know if you ever received, you know, these recommended videos, you know, on your feed, you know, from YouTube. I think because I get, you know, some videos for my son to watch every once in a while, I get things that I don't necessarily see as interesting to me. And one time I received a video and the title of it said, "I'm dropping out of college." Like I said, I don't know why I was receiving that particular video, but I was intrigued. So I watched the video. And the essence of the video was about a college student who had been vacillating about whether or not she should stay in college or to drop out. And she agonized over this decision. And she was sharing that, you know, she was a very good student, got very great grades, so it wasn't a question of whether or not she could do the work. She got a full scholarship, so wasn't worried about money being the issue at all. And everything, at least from the outside, seemed to be going so well for her. But one of the things she realized that she was not doing what she should be doing in her life. She believed she wasn't really following what she should be doing. She was not expressing her true self. But the dilemma was this. She felt a great deal of pressure from well-meaning friends and family and said, just stick it out. And, you know, she didn't want to disappoint them. She was very concerned about what others may think about her and what she might do. And it wasn't until she started an assignment that was given to her by one of her professors in the class that said to kind of look back at all the writings you've done in high school and college up until that point and reflect upon those things based upon your lens that you see the world now. And he also told her to reach out to someone that was doing in their life what you would like to do. And so she did that, and she went to this person and hung around this person for a couple of days. And she realized that he was doing the work that she was so passionate about. And that going to school, going to college, was not going to get her there. So she took the plunge, and she dropped out. On some levels, he says, she knew the key to a good life was not to be concerned about what others think she should do with her life. And she had to follow her personal values. And it was an agonizing decision, but she made the decision. I think she did so because she was beginning to realize what it meant to live an authentic life. So welcome to week 3 of Faith in Action, the audacity of authenticity. You know, we're continuing with Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. You know, as I was watching that video, I was thinking about my own time when I was in college. I didn't have to make an agonizing decision like that. But I was like deciding what should I do with, you know, as a major. And, you know, I was always interested in philosophy and kind of religious philosophy kind of courses. But people would say, you can't major in that. That is not practical. And so I majored in economics. And, of course, I never used that most of my life either. So that was being proved to be impractical either as well. But I didn't follow what was within me. You know, she quoted someone by the name of E.E. Cummings. And he said something to the effect, to paraphrase it, he said, staying real is one of the most courageous battles we'll ever fight. Or as the young folks say, keeping it 100. You know, as I was looking back on people in my life that I've admired that were truly authentic in many respects, controversial in how they carried out their life. Some of them were polarizing for being true to themselves, for being true to the values in which they lived. You know, one of my heroes of all time, of course, is Muhammad Ali, and based upon his religious belief, he refused to be inducted into the army during the time that it was at the height of the Vietnam War. And I, you know, I really like him a lot. I'm thinking, judging myself now or just evaluating how much time has gone by. And I just remember one time listening to one of his fights, and I was listening on a 2-station transistor radio. I'm going back in time. And how much has changed over time. But I think because of his authentic self, he has such an effect on me that he was the only person that triggered me to write a letter to the editor about what someone had written in a newspaper. And I was very young at the time. But he was attacked by well-meaning people. He risked jail. He risked losing millions of dollars. He risked his career. But he had a chance to embrace who he really was and not what others thought he should be doing with his life. And a lot of prominent people during that time, I remember, that were around him, they were very well respected in the community, you know, told him, you know, just enroll, take a non-combat role and do exhibition fights. But he said, I had to be true to myself. He had to be true to his own values, not what other people thought, not what made other people happy. Ultimately, it did work out for him. You know, he did still lose millions of dollars. I always believe that he lost the prime time of his life in his trade. But of course, he never really looked back or complained about what decisions he made. And of course, over time, he became one of the greatest figures, not only in sports history, but also a humanitarian that's looked upon as one of the great figures, in at least in his lifetime. But the most important thing is that he lived his authentic life. And I think sometimes even being in unity is a little different from other pathways. And I remember sometimes this is not looked upon highly by other people. You know, I've talked to folks over the years and they've said they had some challenges maybe from others in their family and their friends who do not know much about what we teach. It's probably not so much of a challenge now because this kind of teaching is out there in so many different ways. But I remember I used to sometimes get letters from people and say, you know, those people in your church, they're heathens. You know, get occasional notes from folks. You know, I remember one time, I never shared this, I think there was a note on even on our gate one morning saying that, you know, we were the Antichrist. And, you know, so I didn't want to share that, you know, you got enough to worry about in your life. But there are some people who may frown upon this, particularly those who have not investigated and simply heard the cliche statements and pop phrases that have been spawned from this very powerful teaching. And so they may talk about us. They may criticize us. They may say you're part of a cult. They say all kinds of weird things. They have not investigated the foundations of the teachings such as these. But of course, as I said before, cult is nothing but a group of people or groupies or group of individuals who have not aspired to go beyond the leadership of the person that is leading them. And a groupie is an individual who tries to, you know, does not do their own spiritual homework, but tries to piggyback on somebody else's consciousness. And we, of course, we believe that this teaching gives the teaching back to themselves. Bring your authentic power out. It requires us to grow out of groupiehood and realize that we have the same power as anyone who has ever walked the planet, but we have to access it. Others say, you know, you have to go through someone else to connect to the power. And we realize we can go directly to the source. I think to stay aligned with our authentic selves, we have to ask the right kind of questions about ourselves and to ourselves. We don't want to ask, why do I do the things that I do if they're not something that's really reflecting the highest and best of us? I think to get in alignment with our authentic selves, we have to ask this question: why did God create me? And if we answer that question properly, we will be living our heart's desire. It's the same desire as God's desire for us because they are one and the same. And when we're living our heart's desire, it will be what we want to do. And we'll be living our authentic lives and we'll be able to enjoy it. That happens when we ask the question, why did the Spirit of living God create me? We might be saying, I know what happened in my life. I know where I've been stuck. I know where I've done some wrong things. I know where my imperfections are. But why am I here? And I believe an energy will take us over. It'll transform those places in life where we're looking at the negative parts, the imperfect parts of ourselves. All those places that give us qualities of strength we'll look at, so we can deliver the spiritual goods that we're here to deliver. I think ultimately when engaged in our authentic selves, we are researching the presence of God, realizing, as that scripture said, it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, which is always ever-expanding good, because this presence and its will for us are one and the same. Now, the paradox, we don't go to God expecting a reward. We go to God in order to remember our real purpose and reason for being here. And we follow that. We follow like that student did that says, this is what I'm here to do. And we'll make mistakes along the way. I think to live an authentic life, we must let go, as that song said, of perfectionism. You know, sometimes we hear this, you know, phrase that says, practice makes. But actually, that's wrong. Practice makes improvement. It makes improvement. As Brené Brown says in her book, there is no such thing as perfectionism. There's no such thing as perfect. We're trying to attain something that does not exist. Sometimes we think that if we're not, quote, perfect, that we'll feel some sort of shame or something will be revealed that we don't want to reveal to the world. But I always say that's the ego part of us. The ego can feel shame. The divine never knows anything about that. That's why little kids, they can go out and do all kinds of crazy things and not have any concern about it whatsoever. They're not into their ego. They're just into being themselves in that moment. You know, I mentioned a while back that I was, in a rehab community, and part of the group, there was one of a dear friends that was, you know, always wanted to be, I think, the appearance of perfect all the time. I mean, she did look perfect. She had hair, every strand, not a place, anything out of place, makeup perfect. But there was something that was kind of hiding the truth of her being. And I remember the facilitator called her and said, you know, why don't you just come in one day, muss up all your hair, you know, misplace all your makeup. And you realize that it's not going to matter. It's not going to make you less than in any way, shape, or form. And she did that, much to our surprise. But ultimately, she realized that that was not who she really was, that she could be her authentic self regardless. I think sometimes trying to achieve this so-called perfection hampers success. You know, Brené talks about it leads to a life paralysis where we miss opportunities because we're too afraid to maybe to put something out in the world that may be construed as imperfect. But I think we can take a cue from those who are in, I think, even the technology field in Silicon Valley. You know, what I've learned about them is that when they have a product, they don't wait for it to be perfect, as you can see. You know, what they do, they say, well, it's functional. Let's put it out there, put it out to the public, and we'll get feedback on how to improve it along the way. If they waited until it was perfect, which is impossible, they would never put it out into the marketplace. And I think the same thing happens in our own life. We have to strive to continuously improve because the universe will give us feedback on how we can do that all of the time. No doubt about it. You know, I remember, you know, when I was in high school and I had a counselor that said I should take speech and debate, and I didn't want to do anything like that. I was taking world history, and I loved that. And he said I had to drop that course and take this, and said it would help me later on. And I reluctantly did so, and then we had to have these competitions, and I never wanted to go because I knew I wasn't perfect at all. I remember the very first time that I got up to speak that, you know, my whole body was shaking like this. My leg was uncontrollable, you know, over time. But as I continued to go back, I was able to actually get up and, you know, I can be relaxed. It was okay. But if I waited till I was perfect, I would have never done it. authenticity is about being who we are. It means that we have to place ourselves in alignment with the presence of God. And we'll reveal that which needs to be revealed within us that's true and honest. Sometimes we have to have a willingness to change our perception of ourselves. Sometimes change is difficult. No one says it's easy. But we have to want to grow. We have to want to change. We have to want to unfold. Sometimes people say, you know, I want to change, but you watch them, they're still holding on. They're praying to have a wonderful, insightful, authentic life. But they really don't want to rock the boat in their life. They really don't want to change things too much. There are people simultaneously, and maybe all of us fall into this trap, who want to make everybody happy and still be who they are. Won't work. Sometimes when you're who you are, there's some people who are not going to be happy about that. But what I realize is that if you are who you are, the world will eventually conform to who you are, particularly if you're your authentic self. You know, I mentioned that this teaching is now looked upon favorably by some folks. But it does not matter. As we authentically live in it, we become aware of something. Because I think what we're learning here at Spiritual Life Center and other organizations like this that really says the power is within us, that we're really preparing ourselves for what we're experiencing now in our world. I think it's a reflection of a value system that says we must have that awakened consciousness so that we can live our authentic life. It's a value system that says something that says that we live in an age where that urgently requires not more information. It doesn't mean we need more technology. It means deeper wisdom that comes from our authentic living. We need not be in greater competition, but greater compassion, not only for ourselves, but for other people. It's a value system that says we need more soul communication and maybe less electronic communication. We need reconciliation of religions and philosophies and science that celebrates the unity of thought as well as the diversity of expression. It needs that we have to have a connection with our intuition so that we have greater global unity of spirit, mind, and heart. You know, I think all of us have a .com address, email address. And all of us understand that's happening on the planet, and we're advancing a lot in our technology. Everyone knows about the internet and the web, and I think it allows us to say a few points. That first of all, the whole mechanism of the technology is simply revealing our inner capability that's within all of us. That all of this technology and all these advances are simply a manifestation, a visible manifestation of the hidden capabilities within all of humanity. That within that humanity lies our authentic selves. That life that's hid in Christ, in God, as it says in that scripture. So the web reveals and is out picturing that which is latent within us. But what we're doing is really creating a cosmic portrait of our inner life. We're painting it with this new technology. And it's revealing in an instant our awareness at any given time. In spiritual truth, what is known in one place in mind is known instantly in all other places in mind. So we have all of these things, the video apps and internet, social media. We have all these highly technological advances that are revealing our inner capabilities. However, this technology does not come without a warning. Dr. Martin Luther King warned us to not let our technological and scientific advances outdistance our spiritual and moral advances. I believe it's a powerful statement that he made, and I would add to it, we don't want it to really outdistance our authentic selves, our real self. That is revealed when we say this. Simply, God, reveal my authentic self regardless of how magnificent it is. God, reveal my authentic self regardless of how beautiful it is. Reveal my authentic self regardless how awesome it is. We remember our authentic lives and our real purpose for being here. You know, not here for the specific purpose to have fun. We're here to reveal the presence of God, and we have fun along the way. We're not here only to reveal and we make and acquire things. We do and reveal the presence of God, our authentic self, and we begin to get things along the way. We're not here necessarily to make money only. We reveal our authentic selves, and money comes along the way. It happens when we seek ye first the kingdom of God. We activate it. We practice. We live it the best way we know how and let it take over our life, because there's nothing more authentic than that. And as enough of us are brave enough to be our authentic selves, it will encourage everyone else to do the same. And what a wonderful world that will be when we express that. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Spiritual Life.